Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We are back from the Labor Day holiday, and we're glad to give you some football picks for the week. So we're going to update you on the latest standings and everything else, and I also want to thank Mike in North Jersey for the first week of football picks last week. We'll tell you how he did in just a moment. Joining us on the air tonight, John in Connecticut, and we had Andy in Seattle on schedule, but unfortunately he won't be able to make it. So he has sent us his picks via the text. Ron also will be sending picks via the text as well. So we'll have a little more time to talk about some other things then, as we have John joining us on the air. Guest picks today will be from Coach Andrew Jacobson, who also sends those via the text. So all in all, I expect a pretty short show today, but I do think it'll be a lot of fun because there's a lot of juice over the weekend. And then we've got some things we can look at as we get into the NFL's 100th season. And that's starting on Thursday with a great kickoff game between the oldest rivalry in the NFL, the Bears against the Packers from Chicago. More on that coming up in the second half of the show. But for now, we look forward to all kinds of aspirations on the table. And I think for the Pac-12, it was just not a good week for them. Although, it wasn't terrible either. So maybe it wasn't as bad as we had feared. But still, a lot of bad drama there with them. A lot of bad drama with the SEC, too. It was kind of rough, actually. Rough weekend for the SEC overall. And the ACC starting to flex its muscles as we get into week two, counting down to one of the biggest showdowns that you will see in college football in quite some time, and that would be LSU versus Texas. And as we mentioned in the NFL, the week finally kicks off, and a lot of people are excited about that. And that all begins with one of the oldest rivalries in the sport, coming from the second city. Let's hit it! Football picks week number two. And week number one was very simple. We only did the college games, and I went 2-0, Andy went 2-0. Ron went 1-1, and John went 1-1 as well. The guest picks from Mike in North Jersey, they went 1-1. He split those. He was going checker with a couple guys from the other rest of the panel. And your standings as of 1 week are exactly that. 2-0 for Dave, 2-0 for Andy, 1-1 for Ron and John. Both of them tied for third place. Guest picks, as we mentioned, 1-1. So now we get into the NFL, and we'll do four picks total from this week forward until December, and then we'll work out the details then. So, pretty interesting weekend to say the least with respect to college football. I mean, especially if you couple in all the week zero action from the week before. Truly remarkable stuff, but some sad news to report in the middle of that. During the game in which USC barely fought off Fresno State, they lost quarterback JT Daniels for the season. And not that anyone really had warm and fuzzy feelings about USC to begin with, but not having their best quarterback, a guy that actually has been pretty good. Granted, not so much during that week's game, but still, that's a huge loss for USC. And a strange side effect to that is that it might actually stir up conversations about Clay Helton getting another chance, which, depending on who you ask, may not be good news for the USC fan. So, with all that said, Auburn had a big win against Oregon. That was the biggest game of the week, easily. And with that set up, we bring in our guest for the evening, John in Connecticut. John, good to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Doing all right, Dave. I just got back from golf not too long ago, almost done for the season. I should have been one over, but I had 4-3 putts and missed like another 3-footer. So I ended up 6 over for the night. Golfers Or anyone who likes to golf knows that three putts are the most frustrating thing ever, because you're on the green, you're putting for birdie, and you end up walking away with a bogey. So I'm kind of frustrated about that, but I hit the ball pretty well, so I guess we'll take some solace in that fact for the final week next week. But yeah, enough about my golf game. It was a fun weekend of college football, and looking forward to discussing it with you and all the NFL action coming up this weekend.
Yeah, not about it. I mean, I've been there too with the three putting, and it's definitely painful, but it's all good. I mean, the fact that you got it on the green that consistently, that's pretty good. You know, a lot of guys would love to.
Oh yeah. I was hitting it great. I mean, you know, compared to last week, I hit it much better. Well, it's always nice seeing a good shot on the green. It's just, I don't know. I feel like the course didn't cut the greens for the past couple of days. They're much slower than I usually remember. And that was probably part of my problem, but whatever. It's done now, and the score, it is what it is, as you would say.
It is indeed. So let's do the recap of last week's action. And last week, a very memorable week one, and a bunch of big upsets in the mix. So I'll give it to you for the recap.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll start with that game you had mentioned, Oregon and Auburn. And once again, Oregon kind of gives it away in the fourth quarter. They were ahead 21-3, 21-6, something like that, and they just could not put Auburn away. And just goes to show you, I mean, we kind of mentioned it on the preview show a couple weeks ago. You know, we weren't, or at least I wasn't, a huge fan of Mario Cristobal. I mean, the team is clearly talented, but they just cannot close out these games, and they had Auburn dead to rights. They should not have lost that game. They somehow give them some life. Bo Nix was terrible. He had a nice drive to win the game, but basically his stats were awful. I'm going to get them up for you right now. They were like, yeah, like 170 yards or something like that. Let's see here. I find that. Yeah, I mean, oh, here we go. Of course, my computer stops working when I have it. But, yeah, in any event, you know, the Oregon should not have lost that game. And now, you know, you're going to hear, oh, yeah, the SEC, another big win, non-conference win. I mean, Auburn was not very good in that game. Here we go. Bo Nix was 13 of 31 for 177 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. not very good. And no. Then that last touchdown, he just kind of threw it up for grabs. I mean, I get it. He's a true freshman, but there's no way that Oregon should have lost that game.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that, you know, they're just not meant to for a national title run or a playoff run, especially with their coach. So that's what that comes down to. Auburn's got a brutal schedule going forward. I don't expect them to really do much of anything, especially if Bo Nix is going to play like that. They actually have a very interesting game against Tulane this weekend. Your Willie Fritz team, Dave.
Yeah.
I give them a chance to upset them. You know, that was, you know, they killed Florida International last Thursday, and, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a letdown for Auburn, but, you know, that'll be an interesting game. But, yeah, Auburn kind of escaped one there and got the cover, too. They threw it to the end zone when you figured they were just going to kind of run it up the middle and set up a field goal. They threw it to the end zone, and they got the cover at the end of the game, which is kind of even more brutal if you had bet Oregon in that spot. So that was kind of rough, but yeah. So the other SEC teams just completely shit the bed on Saturday. You had Missouri giving up basically a million yards rushing to Wyoming of all teams and losing 37-31 in Wyoming. So that was pretty rough. Ole Miss, I think they had 200 yards of offense against a Memphis team that was just absolutely hideous on defense last year. And, of course, their new offensive coordinator was Rich Rodriguez for Ole Miss. So I guess that's kind of par for the course with that one. They just – was to show you, like, he just still doesn't know what he's doing. So they were terrible. Tennessee, of course, I wish Ron was here because he would tell us about, every year this is Tennessee's year. This is it for them. And they lose as 25-point underdogs outright to a Georgia State team that was 2-10 last year. Yep. I mean, and it's not like it was some fluke either. I mean, Georgia State did not have that many less yardage than Tennessee. I watched the fourth quarter. They were playing with them easily. Obviously, they won the game, but it wasn't like, you know, flukes like fumbles and interceptions and stuff like that. I mean, they definitely deserved to win that game. And, you know, if you're a Tennessee fan, like, why even bother going now to the games the rest of the year? It's just, it's rough. You know, you can't. How are they going to beat these other teams? It's in the SEC. It's brutal. Well, maybe they will, because some of the SEC East looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
So the total yardage was 404 to 350. So that's basically dead even. Georgia State had more first downs. They outrushed Tennessee 213 to 93. They had 93 yards rushing against Georgia State. Like I said, a team that went 2-10 last year. That is just an unfathomable loss for Tennessee. And that was just bad. And then to top it off, the SEC, you had South Carolina losing to Mack Brown in North Carolina. And Dave, I don't know if you saw the end of the game here. Our old friend Mack. So Jake Bentley was hideous, and it turns out he had a foot injury, so maybe he has an excuse why he didn't. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Why he didn't play well? He was still in the game for whatever reason. He was bad, but maybe that was an excuse. But in any event, so he throws an interception, going in. I think they were on the 30-yard line, whatever. So North Carolina is running out the clock. They get a couple first downs. So then they go to take some knees, and it's fourth down on the 50-yard line with 11 seconds left, and Mack Brown takes a knee on the 50-yard line with 11 seconds left. What is he doing? So, of course, South Carolina has a chance for a Hail Mary. I was so hoping that they completed the Hail Mary for a touchdown. Just Mack Brown might have quit on the spot right there. Like, what the hell is he doing? So they won, but that was just for South Carolina to lose to that guy. I mean, that's pretty bad. So that was just unbelievably bad. But they almost lost. I guess a good win for North Carolina, and that's just a bad loss for South Carolina.
That's a bad loss.
So I didn't realize you didn't know about that scenario. I could not believe it when I was watching that. It was just I couldn't believe it. All right, so some other games here to note. Dave, your USC team. So what's the story? I know Daniels is out for the season. So the guy that's coming in now, he's a true freshman, right? I didn't watch the end of the game. It was really late. I've been watched enough football for the day. So he's a true freshman, like walk-on, or what's his deal?
Well,
to back up for USC?
I don't think it was – I think – if I remember correctly, I don't have to look this up too, because I didn't, and I gotta be honest, I didn't see the end of the game either because I was out of town. And then I was drinking so much by then, I was completely hammered. And I didn't get to see make it to the second half of the game. So, I mean, that's just, I'm being as transparent as I can about that. But I do remember that, but I did catch the part where Daniels left. So, they pretty much had to go that route, though, because I thought that Sears transferred out, because that was the other guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he did transfer. I did see that the other day, so I know they were shorthanded. What a time to have an injury, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think that was just a bad break. I mean, that's a bad. So that's basically all I know.
Okay.
But you basically had it down. It's basically just I don't know about a walk-on, but definitely a freshman. And and yeah, all precipitated by the idea that, you know, you don't often see it. You know, the odds of a quarterback having an ACL tear and then missing the whole season in week one, I guess, especially if it's a non-conference game, then it's this presumably easier opponent. But we both know that Fresno State's not that easy an opponent. We know that they've had a good year, even though they lost a bunch of guys. So it didn't feel like it was that easy a game.
Yeah, no, they were more competitive than I thought. Although when Daniels went out of the game, they were dominating them pretty good. So if he had stayed in, I think it might have been a little bit of a different story. Fresno State might have gotten like a second wind, and it was 31-13 heading into the fourth quarter. So I mean, Fresno State was probably a little better than I thought, but the injury definitely helped them. But yeah, we'll see how the kid does against Stanford this week, and that should be an interesting game. I think maybe both backup quarterbacks for USC Stanford. All right, let's see some other games here that I want to mention.
I've got a couple.
So, well, I guess we'll just, yeah, all right, so I'll go through a couple more.
Okay.
Thursday night, Utah dominates. Well, really in the second half they dominated BYU. What really turned that game was a pick six, and You know, Utah, I mean, who's going to challenge them now in the Pac-12 South? I mean, we're kind of thinking, you know, maybe USC, certainly not UCLA. They looked horrendous against Cincinnati, only like 200 yards of offense. I mean, Chip Kelly, where's the offense gone? I mean, he's just, it might, you know, hard to hate to say the game might have passed him by in just how many years, but they just did not look good. So maybe the Pac-12 South is definitely Utah's to win after seeing some of those teams. And then on Friday night, really nothing too important to mention. How about South Florida? 49-0 at home against Wisconsin. I think we can add Charlie Strong to that hot seat. I mean, that's just brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even cross midfield to like in the fourth quarter. I mean, Wisconsin's got a good team, but come on, 49-0 at home.
At home.
That team is just a dumpster fire. The great thing about that game is maybe now it's another possible win for UConn this year. happy about that. Army surprisingly just gets by Rice, only 14-7. That was kind of interesting. Not a lot of offense there, and Army, I don't know. We'll see. I think maybe they're not quite as good this year. Hard to hate to go off one game, but that was not a great performance by them. And Rice is one of the worst teams in the country. Unless Rice is magically improved, that was not a good game by Army. UMass goes up 21-7 on Rutgers, and then Rutgers scores 41 straight points.
Mm-hmm.
So good for them. They look like they have a quarterback, McLean Carter, transfer from Texas Tech, had 340 yards and 2 touchdowns. Again, it is UMass, so we'll pump our brakes a little bit. Let's see if Rutgers can do it against Iowa, but at least for 1 week, the Rutgers faithful can have a good moment. Purdue completely gags a lead against Nevada. They had 4 turnovers. They had a 31-14 lead entering the fourth, and they just completely gave it away. That's just a bad loss for Purdue. You can't lose that game. And Nevada's starting quarterback, projected starting quarterback going into the season, didn't play because he was hurt. So that was a bad loss for Purdue. All right, let's move on to Saturday. Bama, they did what they did, as expected. It was a crockpot game, as Andy likes to say. They end up covering in the end. Same for Georgia, same for Ohio State. LSU just completely destroyed Georgia Southern. Joe Burrow, 23 of 27 for 280 yards and 5 touchdowns. I certainly did not see that one coming. I actually thought Georgia Southern might be able to hang in there, but that was a huge blowout. And they're going to play Texas this week. I'm sure we're going to talk about that. And Texas covered the spread easily. They beat Louisiana Tech. As I said, Bob Diaco defense, you've faded every week. And again, 45-14, Texas wins. Michigan wasn't all too impressive, but they got the win 40-21 against Middle Tennessee. All right, a couple other games I'm going to mention here. How about, I don't know if you saw this, Dave. So Syracuse beat Liberty 24-0. Syracuse had 11 sacks. They dominated the game. The real story for this game is Hugh Freeze was coaching from a hospital bed in the press box. I've never seen something so bizarre in my life in college football. He's literally calling plays, but was he calling plays with like a bedpan? When he's sitting there in his hospital bed? I mean, that was just crazy. That had to have an effect on the team. I mean, when your coach is up there, and then Dino Babers is like pointing at him as,
That was
like
funny.
The coach's handshake. That was crazy. Let's see here.
I have a big one.
Stanford Northwestern, that was just an ugly game.
That game. Goodness.
A crazy cover at the end.
Yep.
With Northwestern fumbles and Stanford picks it up and falls on it in the end zone. Shades of the Ohio State Northwestern game from years ago, or like 4 or 5 years ago, that I had Northwestern on, and just an ugly, ugly game that was. Florida State, what a bunch of frauds they are. They looked good for 10 minutes against Boise State. I took them minus the points. You figure the game got moved to noon. It's in their home stadium. It's about 1,000 degrees out, and they're ahead like 31-13 or whatever it is, and they just completely fall apart, and Boise State, give them credit, they hung in there, and they got the momentum, and they didn't let it go. But that's just a terrible loss for Florida State. They looked awful in the second half, and it's the same old Florida State, really. And then there's a couple other teams that, like, were kind of fraudulent, like Nebraska. They won 35-21 versus South Alabama. but they really only outgained them by 30 yards. They had three defensive touchdowns or special teams touchdowns in the second half. They really should have lost to South Alabama, which is really bad considering they were 36-point favorites. So maybe we need to stop with the hype with Nebraska for now anyway. Maybe they were just going very vanilla with their game plan, whatever. But that was just not a good performance at all by Nebraska. So I think I pretty much covered everything that I wanted to mention. So go ahead with the games that you wanted to talk about.
No, you covered a lot of it quite well. I think there's really only one that I wanted to add to that. And the one I was going to add was Wyoming, of all the teams, beating Missouri, which adds to the theme of the SEC having a bad week. That was a bad week for the SEC. A lot of SEC teams lost. I mean, were you surprised that they came back on Missouri and won? I mean, they were at home, to be fair, so Wyoming, I don't think, it's not a huge shock, but I did think that was a disappointing loss for Missouri.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were 17-point favorites. I mean, if you said to me, okay, they're going to win by like 10 or 12 or whatever and cover this, and Wyoming would cover the spread, I said, oh, yeah, sure, that easily could see that happening. But to get beat outright, and I'm going to look at the box score right now, I swear they gave up like 300 or 400 yards rushing to Wyoming. I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, I know the Missouri defense has had their issues, but they were supposed to be like a kind of a hot team in the SEC this year, but it's certainly certainly not looking up that way to start the year. And they can't make a bowl game either. So you wonder if this will kind of, it'll be like a house of cards kind of falling. Let's see here. Yeah, Wyoming had 300 yards rushing.
Ooh.
And they averaged 7 yards per rush. I mean, that's bad. You know, and their quarterback was, I mean, he had a nice game running the ball. I guess they were doing like one of those read option kind of things. He had 120 yards rushing, but he was only 6 of 16 for 92 yards. So they knew what was coming, and they still couldn't stop it. So definitely not a good start to the season for Missouri.
One more, I think you may have covered this one, but it's worth bringing up again because there were some, including me, some hype about UCLA going into the year. But the one thing I never was very, very high on was Dorian Thompson-Robinson, their quarterback, DTR. His ability to throw is horrendous, and he had so many turnovers. I'm trying to remember if that was week one or a week. No, I think that was week one. Yeah, back on Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a rough one for UCLA. So my question then is that just a bad game, or will they start to, you know, improve a little bit? Or are you with me with a DTR scenario and he's just not cut out to be a leader of this team?
Well, his stats were 8 of 26 for 156 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. His QBR, if you go by that, was 5.9.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bad. I think I did kind of briefly mention this. I mean, has the game passed Chip Kelly by? Like, I don't know. I mean, they were bad. Granted, I did not see this game. I was enthralled with the UConn-Wagner game. I will not go into details about what happened with that game. UConn won, that's all I will say. But so I did not get to see this game. But judging by the stats, I mean, UCLA was bad. And, you know, we had questions about Chip Kelly, and we had questions about DTR heading into the season. And so far through one game, you know, they haven't been answered. And Cincinnati, you know, they're an okay mid-major team. I mean, they're a group of five team. I mean, they're a top 50 team, but UCLA should do better than 200 yards of offense.
Yeah.
In the second year of Chip Kelly's scheme. I mean, come on, that you got to do better than that. And now UCLA is going to play San Diego State this weekend, and they have a really good defense. So that could be another kind of ugly kind of game.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the one thing that killed the team that killed the Bruins was the turnovers by DTR. I mean, he was just turning the ball over. I think he had 4 in the game. I mean, that's pretty rough. So, you know, I don't know what channel that the next game is going to be on, but that's going to be pretty tricky. Okay, I guess that's it. So let's go ahead and go to the picks. And John, I can either you can. Would you like to go first?
No, read the other guy's picks first, because I have a bunch that I kind of am leaning towards, and if if that's okay. Like, I know you like to do it by record.
That's
or whatnot,
a good. That's a good thought. Well, I was going to ask, do you want me to read the other ones first, or do you want to go first? So I can read the other ones.
Yeah, read the other ones first, because I have a bunch that I like. If someone's taking the same as me, I can go in a different direction.
Okay, let's do it. So we're going to then start with my picks first, and here we go. We'll go very quickly with mine. But I got a couple of interesting surprises here for you guys. So why don't we start? Why don't we start with this one? Now, I actually have been on the Nebraska train, but not this week. I'm actually going to go Colorado +3.5 against Nebraska. The line went down from 7.5 to 3.5. And either way, it's pretty unusual to give a home team that many points, especially in a rivalry game. I know they haven't played a lot lately, and to really bring that point home, this is the first meeting between these two teams in Boulder since 2009. So that's a long time ago. Because of conference realignment, they can't play each other every year anymore. So I got to think that the Colorado fans are fired up. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to take my chance on the home team in this one. And John's kind of right. I think Nebraska's starting to look a little overrated in the early going. So we'll see about that one. Game number two. Principal play for me, Tom Herman at home. Texas is now up to a 6.5-point underdog at home against LSU. Now, I know that LSU had a great dominant performance against Georgia Southern. And overall, I think that this is a pretty good program right now, the way Ed Orgeron is recruiting. A very talented team, very athletic team. And these guys got dudes. But, I mean, if you're talking about who's the better quarterback, the answer, I think is Sam Ellinger. And it's just surprising that they'd be this big of an underdog right now. But maybe they know more than I don't know. It could be a trap for all I know. But I'm still going to ride the principal play here. Tom Herman as an underdog at home. Texas +6.5 to go along with Colorado +3.5 for my picks. College week two. Okay, so now let's go to Andy's picks, and we'll be just as quick with those. Andy's first pick is Stanford getting 1 at USC. There's still some debate as to whether... Or not debate, but some uncertainty as to whether Costello will play at quarterback for Stanford. But whether he plays or not, I feel like there's just... I feel like USC is going to be a real hot mess compared to what Stanford's up to, even without their quarterback. So that makes sense for Andy to pick Stanford. Game number two. Feeding off a point John made earlier, he is going to take Tulane, getting 18 at Auburn. Potential letdown scenario. So Andy's picks again, Stanford +1, Tulane +18. Okay, now up to Ron's picks. And here we go. Ron in New Jersey selects Syracuse getting 2 at Maryland. And I did not realize that Syracuse was an underdog in this game. It would seem like they'd be favored here, but not the case. Game number 2 for Ron. He selects Western Michigan getting 16 at Michigan State. So to repeat for Ron, Syracuse +2 and Western Michigan +16. So there it is, John. You got a lot of inventory to select from. You could checker these. You could go head-to-head. I will give it to you now for your picks.
All right, Dave. So I like the Tulane pick. That was on my list. I like the Colorado pick. That was on my list. I like the Texas pick. That was on my list. So I'll go with some other games here. So first pick, this is just completely a situational selection. We just talked about Wyoming. So they have that huge upset win at home against Missouri. Now they're going on the road to sleepy San Marcos, Texas, to play Texas State. And I'll take Texas State getting the touchdown. I had actually, listened to some other college football podcasts and read some stuff, and a lot of people were high on Texas State this year because they had a new coaching staff and a transfer quarterback that was familiar with one of the coaches and whatever. But, they had a rough game at Texas A&M. But, you're expected. There were 33-point underdogs, and it was basically a push. But I think just the spot is good, and, I'm going to auto-bet, like a mid-major team that has a huge home upset like that going on the road. So give me Texas State +7 for game number 1 against Wyoming. And then game number 2, I wanted to go maybe head to head with Ron with that Syracuse Maryland game, but that's kind of a toss up. All right, I know what I'm going to do. I usually do not lay big points like this, but I think this is where I have to go this week. I'm going to take Penn State minus 29.5 against Buffalo. Now, if you know anything about James Franklin, it's like he likes to run up the score on these poor teams. We saw it a couple years ago. I remember Francesa was just destroying him for trying to ice the Georgia State kicker when they were off like 50 points or something. He doesn't hold back in these games. And they actually, they look pretty good. I know it was Idaho, but they scored like 75 points. And, you know, their offense looked great. Now, Buffalo, they were replacing a bunch of players heading into this year. Tyree Jackson, their star receiver, Anthony Johnson. So they were really like restarting. And they had a first week game against Robert Morris, where their new quarterback was just terrible. I don't think he threw for 100 yards. They won the game, but there was just a lot of turnovers involved. And this was against a Robert Morris team, an FCS team that was like 2-9 last year, and they just were not impressive at all. I think it's gonna take a while for Buffalo maybe to get kind of situated with their new players. And this is just a bad spot against a team that, like, frankly, likes to run up the score. So we'll take Penn State minus 29.5 in addition to the Texas State plus 7 for college football week 2.
All right. Thanks, John, for the picks. So now we segue to the guest picks of the week. And they go to my friend Andrew Jacobson. We call him Coach. I met Coach over the weekend in Denver, and he sends his best from the Rocky Mountains with these picks. He will start with Army getting 22 at Michigan. And then he will go for game number 2. He'll select Oregon State plus 6.5 at Hawaii. So to repeat for Coach, Army plus 22 and Oregon State plus 6.5 for college week 2. That's an interesting... See, that's what's really interesting about all these picks, John. We're getting pretty gutty with our picks. Like, we've got some real upsets pick, you know, on the agenda. I mean, I love the Tulane pick from Andy. I like your pick of Texas State, too. And then Ron going with Syracuse for the quote upset. Western Michigan plus 16. I mean, we have a lot of underdogs on this week's agenda. So as we look ahead towards the featured NCAA games, and one of those games, actually, Texas A&M against Clemson, I wonder if Texas A&M may work that magic again. Why can't I remember his name now? But the Jimbo magic. Kind of like last year where they kind of play him close. We'll see. Then Nebraska and Colorado, as I mentioned, a revival of a rivalry. It's a home and home, too. They played in Lincoln last year. And then LSU-Texas, clearly the game of the week. So, John, let's get your thoughts about this week's NCAA action.
Yeah, that Texas-LSU game, that's going to be fascinating. I mean, Herman is a dog. I think, you know, I think that's where you got to go in this scenario. You know, despite Joe Burrow's magnificent performance against Georgia Southern, I'm still not sold 100% as him as like a big time quarterback. I'm still not sold on Ed O in this kind of game against Herman. So, you know, I'll have to go with the points in Texas in this spot, although it should be a really just fascinating game. And, you know, you'd love to see when these two like powerhouse programs get together early in the season. I mean, and if one loses, it's not going to hurt them because they're both in the top 10. You know, by the end of the year, if they win out, it'll be fine. If either of them take a loss, but I think both offenses will do pretty well here. Ellinger has turned into a pretty dynamic quarterback, and you know, I think it'll be a close game, and I think 6.5 points is probably way too much from the spread standpoint. I'd be surprised if LSU blows them out. Maybe LSU by 3 or 4, but definitely think Texas will cover the spread in this game, and definitely looking forward to watching that one. That'll be a good matchup. And then you mentioned Clemson and Texas A&M. Obviously, last year when these two teams played, A&M had a really good shot at the upset and just couldn't pull it out at the end. And this year, the fight is reversed. It's in Death Valley, in South Carolina. So Clemson will have the home field advantage. They're obviously favored by 18 points. You know, we'll see if A&M can do anything, honestly. You would figure Clemson will hold serve at home. I mean, the spread is pretty big. It's 18 points. It's kind of one of those spreads where it's kind of begging you to take A&M, but Clemson is just so talented this year, and especially on offense anyway. You figure a lot of points are scored in this game.
A&M looked pretty good, as I mentioned earlier, against Texas State. Jimbo obviously does a good job. And you know, he knows Dabo Swinney, too, from his time at Florida State in the ACC. So, I think he is more equipped than maybe some coaches to face Clemson in this spot. So I don't think it'll be like an epic blowout, like Clemson winning by 25 points. If I had to say, I would say A&M stays within the spread, but Clemson wins by like 10 or 13, something like that. But it should be a good game. And Clemson will be, I think they'll be challenged at some point in this one. So those are the major games. Let's see. USC Stanford would have been pretty good if the quarterbacks were playing. I don't know if Costello is playing for Stanford. I haven't seen anything about that. I know he had gotten hurt last week too, but obviously Daniels is out. So that would have been a good game, but it could be a shit show. I don't know. 10:30 Pac-12 after dark on ESPN. So we'll see about that. Let's see what else here. Any other interesting, under the radar kind of games? Really don't see anything. I mean, it's kind of those two really marquee games really take up the slate in terms of the national title implication games. I mean, obviously I'll be a degenerate watching Wyoming Texas State, but that game really doesn't mean much of anything in the grand scheme of things. I guess Army and Michigan could be interesting. Army didn't play that well last weekend, like I mentioned, but you know, if they can get their option going, you know, they could beat anybody because they just hold the ball so long. We saw it last year against Oklahoma where they held the ball for 40 something minutes and had those long drives and were able to keep Kyler Murray and Oklahoma off the field. And that's how they almost won and took the game to overtime. That could be the same blueprint here against Michigan. Although Army doesn't look quite as strong this year, but we'll see. It just takes 1 week for that option to get going and for the right scenarios to happen. So, that'll be an interesting watch. And then Cincinnati and Ohio State, too. Cincinnati, all these kids that go to Cincinnati, they're just, not quite good enough to get into Ohio State. So there's definitely a chip on their shoulder there. Luke Fickell, obviously, former coach at Ohio State. So there's huge, I wouldn't say revenge, but there's huge ties right there as well. And you know he's going to want to beat Ohio State. So you could definitely see that game being maybe a little closer than people think. So those are two games early on in the day that could be interesting. So that's pretty much all I got for this week in terms of, I guess, really interesting games.
All right. Oh, well, good luck to your picks, John, and good luck to everybody else as well for college. And now we move on to the NFL. And then the NFL kicks it off on Thursday night. And your team, the Packers, are a big part of that one, John. What are you looking forward to this season?
Well, no more Mike McCarthy, so I guess that's a plus. We're already starting off ahead. Honestly, I have no idea what to expect because Aaron Rodgers did not play in the preseason. And you know what he even said yesterday? Well, if I had played, it would have just been a vanilla offense anyway. So they were not running Matt LaFleur's new, but they weren't running his offense in the preseason. So I honestly have no idea what to expect. I do know that they might run the ball a little more now. LaFleur is a run-first coach. I kind of welcome that. I mean, Aaron Jones is a really good running back, and anything to take pressure off of Aaron Rodgers, I'm all for that. So we'll see how his offense looks tomorrow night. They made lots of potential upgrades on defense. I mean, they signed Za'Darius Smith away from the Ravens. They signed up Preston Smith, another linebacker. They drafted two picks on defense. Darnell Savage looks like a real player. He's a safety from Maryland. So they really upgraded their defense. We'll see if that plays out tomorrow night. Still not sold on Mitch Trubisky, that's for sure. So maybe they can force him to make some turnovers, and Rodgers will do his thing, and the Packers can – it would be nice to start the season off with a win in Chicago. And I think one thing, too, that you have to mention is the Bears' defensive coordinator from last year, Vic Fangio, is now the head coach in Denver. So maybe their defensive scheme will not be as solid as last year. And obviously, Khalil Mack and some of those other guys they have are great. But, you know, the scheme matters. And now they have Chuck Pagano, who is not a very good defensive coordinator, in my opinion. So I think that's a plus for the Packers in this matchup. So It should be an interesting game. I mean, the spread is basically a pick 'em. I mean, the Bears get 3 points for home field. Okay, so what? But should be an exciting game. And yeah, I can't wait to see how this new Matt LaFleur offense looks with Aaron Rodgers. And you know, all the media, that's what they've been saying lately is, oh my, you know, Rodgers and LaFleur, do they hate each other? Oh, who's calling the plays? Is he changing plays at the line? It's just like, just give it up. They're just looking for friction between the two, and it's just kind of annoying. But I guess that goes with the territory when you have such a big, you know, when you're as big of a star as Aaron Rodgers is, and when there's clearly like issues between him and McCarthy towards the end there, that's what the media is going to go to. But I just wish they would hold off on that for a while anyway. The guy hasn't coached a game yet. I mean, come on, let it breathe a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm looking forward to that game, and as you know, there are going to be massive fantasy implications with that matchup on Thursday night. So, first question out of the box: are you in our FanDuel, the board FanDuel for that game? I don't think that game's in there though. But
No, the Thursday games are not in the duels, but I am signed up for the duel for this Sunday.
Cool, I love it. I'm in there too, so I don't do as many of the NFL ones, but I'll try one this week. It should be a lot of fun.
And oh yeah, you can't go wrong with you know, especially if you take a couple Monday night players, then you can just kind of see yourself going up the leaderboard on Monday night. That's the best scenario.
And Monday night has a doubleheader this week, and that first game between Houston and New Orleans, that's going to be a real winner. I mean, there could be a lot of offense in that game.
Oh yeah, you know, obviously the Saints at home. Pretty prolific offense, and then Deshaun Watson and the Texans, you know, they can put up points on the board too. They just fortified their offensive line by trading for Laremy Tunsil from the Dolphins, and he's got plenty of offensive weapons. I mean, I don't know what they're gonna do at running back now. Lamar Miller tore his ACL, and you know, they're gonna be kind of struggling there. But I mean, Watson to Hopkins and Fuller, and they got a good offense. So that definitely should be a pretty exciting game. The over-under is only 52. You would figure that would go over. And then you have Broncos-Raiders, which I think we might be all in bed by then. I mean, who cares at that point? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know, John Gruden, you know, and the Joe Flacco on the Broncos. I mean, it's just not a – no, I guess it's just not a sexy matchup in my opinion. But, hey, you know, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. So catch a little bit of it, I guess.
Yep. Well, in that case, let's go to the picks and we'll get right to it. So once again, I'll go ahead and read what the three of us have, and then I'll give it to you for yours. So let's start with my picks. And, you know, honestly, whatever whatever little I know about college footballs, about these college football spreads, I know even less about the NFL spread. So these are guesses for me. I'm going to start with game number one. Redskins getting 10 at the Eagles. This is the ultimate principle play. I mean, first of all, I don't think the Eagles are even that good. Well, I mean, they're good, but I don't think they're good enough to beat the Redskins by 20 plus. I will certainly let John rebut that if he wants, but in a divisional game, you usually don't want to be laying 10 or more points. That seems a little odd. So we're going to go Redskins plus 10 for game number one. Game number two, we're taking the Rams -2.5 at the Panthers. I don't think the Rams are going to be as great as they were last year when they made the Super Bowl, but this is just a scenario where I just don't know what the Panthers have on the table. Cam, and that's about it. McCaffrey too, but the defense has been so weak lately from Carolina, so I'm not really sure how they're going to stop the Rams in the first week of the season. And that, as far as I know, everybody in the Rams is healthy. The Rams beat reporter Lindsay Theory said that the Wednesday injury report is literally there are no injuries. So that's a great sign for the Rams. I think they're going to be ready to go. Cooper Kupp is apparently going to play. It should be a pretty good game as long as everybody stays healthy. So Redskins plus 10, Rams minus 2.5. For Dave, week number one NFL. Okay, so now let's grind through these other picks, and we'll start with Andy's picks. Andy has these two selections. He will go checker on a checker with my pick of Rams -2.5 at the Panthers. He will also take the road team in tomorrow's action. He's going Packers +3 at the Bears. So for Andy, it's Rams -2.5 and Packers +3 for NFL Week 1. And now, let's go to Ron's picks. Here they come. Ron's picks are... He's going head-to-head with both me and Andy. So he's going to go take the Panthers. Now, he has +3. I'll work that out later. But he's going to go with the Panthers, basically, in that game against the Rams. And in game number 2, Ron selects the Seahawks -9.5 versus the Bengals, where the bottom fell out completely with that team. So Panthers +3, we'll say for now, and Seahawks -9.5 for Ron in New Jersey. All right, Checker, hopefully I wasn't too fast saying all that. We'll go to you now for your picks.
All right, Dave, I'm going to agree with Ron and go head-to-head with you and Andy. I'll take the Panthers +2.5, +3, whatever you want to make it. It's just the Super Bowl hangover. I mean, the Super Bowl losers, I saw a ridiculous stat. They're like 2-10 against the spread or straight up. It was not good over the last how many years. I have to get the exact stat. But the Super Bowl hangover is real. This is your traditional scenario of a West Coast team traveling east. I mean, the spread is, I'm sure all the money is on the Rams, and it's probably dropping to 2.5. It's just your typical trap kind of game. The health of Newton does concern me a little bit, obviously, because he was hurt in the preseason. But if he's going to be out there, you got to figure he's going to be healthy enough to play. And I just think it's a spot situation to play Carolina. So give me the Panthers to win the game outright, +2.5, +3, whatever. For game number 1, and then for game 2, probably shouldn't do this, but I will take the Chargers -6.5 against the Colts. Obviously, we know the whole situation with Andrew Luck retiring, and, you know, and the Colts are saying and doing what they should say as a team. Oh, we're going to rally around Jacoby Brissett, and it's going to be, we can challenge for the playoffs. They even gave him a $30 million extension, which that was a little crazy. I mean, let the guy play some games first. When he played 2 years ago in place of Luck, he was okay. I mean, he wasn't Nathan Peterman bad, but, you know, he was a bottom-tier starter in the league. And the team around him is better now, for sure. I will say that. But Luck was worth at least 3 or 4 points to this team. And the fact that you can get it right now under a touchdown, I will definitely jump on that. The Chargers, they're going through their own, you know, holdout situation with Melvin Gordon, but honestly, don't really think they need him. He was kind of had a rough yards per carry last year. He did a lot of damage out of the backfield, which can be replaceable. I mean, Eckler is pretty good for that kind of thing, and then Justin Jackson, he can kind of be there in between the tackles guy. Their defense will still be legit. I know Derwin James is going to be missing, but I think for this game anyway, I mean, you always hate trusting the Chargers, but they should win this game by a touchdown. So give me the Chargers -6.5 for game 2, in addition to the Panthers, plus whatever you want to make it, Dave, 2.5, 3, that's fine, against the Rams to get the upset for week number 1 in the NFL.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll set it at 3, because I know when I actually wrote my pick, I wrote 3, Ron wrote 3, you wrote 3, Andy was the one that had 2.5, so I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll lower it, but since more of us had 3... And we're going head-to-head. I think 3 is an even number, so it makes more sense. So we'll go with 3. It'd be interesting if it was like a 3-point game and we all ended up having a push, but that would be I'll have that one on for sure, because, I mean, that's going to be the local game anyway. So very good. So those are the picks for Ron, John in Connecticut. Good luck. And not a bad spot. Let's go to our guest picks from Coach Andrew Jacobson. Here they come. Week 1. He's going to go with the Titans getting 6 at the Browns. John, you got to think that the Browns might be getting a little bit too much hype here. We'll talk about that in a second, but that's game number 1. Game number 2, surprising amount of confidence in my Steelers. He will go Steelers +6 at the Patriots. Good arguments to be had for this, obviously. The Steelers have been improving over the last couple seasons, especially on defense. But beating the Patriots on the road is tough, even though I know Tom Brady's getting older. He might look even more human this year. With the age does not lose in this battle. So to repeat for Coach, Titans +6, Steelers +6. Look at that. So yeah, John, let's talk about some of those NFC North. I mean, so some of those AFC North teams as well. It's an interesting division because you do have all the hype on Cleveland, but a lot of people do think that the Steelers will be right there. And we know that Baltimore could actually be pretty good this year. Could be pretty good this year once they build an offense around Lamar Jackson. You hinted at this during the playoff coverage last year. So looking at that division, how would you evaluate those three teams?
Well, it's a different year for the Steelers now with a full, you know, you're heading into it knowing there's no Antonio Brown and there's no Le'Veon Bell. You know, James Conner filled in pretty well last year for Bell. We'll see if he can do that again. We'll see. I don't think they can replace Antonio Brown. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, is he going to be as effective when he's the number one guy that defenses are going to focus on rather than the number two guy? If people are double-teaming Brown, I mean, Juju got open. So we'll see about that. You know, I think the Browns are going to get all the hype for sure. I mean, Baker Mayfield had a great first year, and then they add all the talent, you know, Odell Beckham, they bolstered their offensive line. They actually traded away someone on their offensive line to the Browns in that trade. But you know, they're very talented on offense. You know, they added Kareem Hunt. We'll see when he's going to play. Obviously they still have Chubb. They still have Landry. They still have Njoku. I mean, it's going to be a fun offense to watch. We'll see if they can live up to the hype. And as far as the Ravens, you know, you're right. It's going to come down to whether Lamar Jackson has progressed in terms of his passing. And we saw that in the playoff game, and we saw that all down the stretch of the season. He just wasn't quite at like he was like a bottom third passer in the NFL. He's certainly an incredible athlete, and you saw what he could do when they were kind of doing like a read option kind of play. But, you know, he definitely needs to be able to give the threat that he can beat you with his arm, or else it's just not going to work. It's interesting that they their new offensive coordinator they hired was the old coordinator under Colin Kaepernick was with the Niners, Greg Roman. And you remember they went crazy with the read option. So maybe that's kind of the offense they're moving forward to. We'll see this Sunday when they play the Dolphins, which is probably should be a gimme win. I mean, the Dolphins are openly trying to tank at this point, it seems. But if you had to say, if you had to ask me, who are you going to pick to win the division? That's really tough. I don't know. I'm going to say the Steelers, and I'm probably going to regret that. Just because I think you're right about the Browns, that there could be just too much hype, and if they start to lose, it just could all fall apart. We have no idea about Freddie Kitchens, for one. I mean, he did an okay job as a play caller, but what's it going to be like if things start to go wrong? Is he going to be able to turn the team around? And I'm still not quite sold on Jackson just yet as a passer, as we just talked about. And they lost a lot of guys on defense, too. As like I mentioned, Za'Darius Smith went to the Packers. They lost a number of other guys, too. Names escape me at the moment. But their defense will not be quite as good as last year. So for those reasons alone, I think maybe a little less drama with the Steelers, with Antonio Brown gone, and certainly Bell, too. So I think the Steelers will just squeak it out, and I could be completely wrong about that. But just for now, I'll say Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with you on that. I just think that they do have – They also have probably the most experienced quarterback, as far as I know, in that division, and Ben Roethlisberger. So as long as he stays healthy, I think they're going to be fine. I do believe in their defense. Maybe I'll be wrong, and their defense will be terrible. But I got to think that the weight has been lifted off their shoulders with all the drama that they had with the holdout last year with Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown is such a clown. And I like him, but he's a clown. Like he's just an incredible self-promoter, and it's generally fine, but it can be a massive distraction, I think, if you're a teammate of his. So the follow-up question is, what do you think the Raiders are going to do now that they have Antonio Brown? And what do you think the Jets are going to do? I'll give you the over-under for the Jets, too. Jets over-under 7.5, and I'll check the Raiders one, too. Raiders are... This is as of a couple days ago. The Raiders are 6. So Raiders with Brown and the Jets with Bell. What do you think those two teams do in terms of how many wins that they'll have?
Oh, man. 7.5. That's a lot for the Jets. Let me see. Let me look at their schedule, who they're playing, like the divisions they're playing this year. All right, so they're playing the NFC East. So that's tough. So they're playing. Also, they're playing the Giants this year. That's all right. So they're playing the NFC East, and they're playing the AFC North. So that's a tough out of division schedule. Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna say under on the Jets. I think the Jets will be a better team, and I think Darnold is gonna have he could be a good fantasy potential, but. I think 7 is pretty good for them. I would not say that they get to 8 wins. So I'm going to say under 7 on the Jets. I get a lot of big fingers my way, but I'll say under 7 for the Jets. And then for the Raiders, I mean, they're just a shit show. Let's just be honest. I mean, do we really trust John Gruden? I don't. And the first, I mean, Brown is already pulling all sorts of shenanigans there with his helmet, and then he had that injury to his feet. It's just, it never ends with the guy, honestly, and you know that from the time in Pittsburgh. It just doesn't stop. And can you imagine the first game where like he's open and Derek Carr is still checking the ball down? Like it's like a nuclear bomb is going to just drop in that locker room. And I don't think it's going to be good. Yeah. So definitely let me look at their schedule too. I mean, they might be able to like squeak out 6 wins. I don't know. Let me see here. So obviously they're playing the Chiefs twice, which is probably 2 losses.
Right.
They're playing the NFC North this year, and the Packers, Bears, and Vikings should be solid teams. So that's probably 3 losses right there. And then they're playing the AFC South, so that's not terrible. But, yeah, I say 6 wins at the most. So I'd say under for them, too.
All right. So now with staying in that division, one I kind of liked was the Broncos over 7 because they do get some weak teams in there. They play the Lions in there. They do play some tough teams, too, though. You mentioned the 2 division alignments this year for the AFC West. But if you look at their schedule, it looks like they have a lot of winnable games on that schedule. And you know that the Broncos, even in the worst possible case scenario, can get, can win, I don't know, like out of 8 games, they can probably win at least 5, even as bad as they are. So what do you think about the Broncos over under a 7? And this is with Flacco. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Flacco is, that's I don't know, that kind of holds you back. I mean, I can't say under on all these teams. I mean, someone's got to win some games. I mean, if they can beat the Raiders twice, I mean, that's a huge game week 1, actually, for the under-overs for whoever's betting that. I don't know why you would, but, imagine having some money tied up all season and, like, the Broncos under or Broncos over. I don't know. That's just not my kind of bet. I know that you could probably find a lot of edges with that, but it's just, I don't know, it's just not my thing. If you figure, say they can beat Denver twice, they got a home game against the Titans, game against the Bills. Their schedule's kind of tough, actually. Game against the Colts. I don't know. That seems pretty much on the money to me. A lot of these teams are just so close in the NFL. I mean, the spreads from week to week are just razor thin. I mean, anyone who can, win 55% picking an NFL game, I mean, good for you. Cause it's tough.
It is tough. And just to really drive that home, we know that the number one team that most people think in the NFL right now is probably the Patriots. And the number two team is, a lot of people would say it's the Chiefs. Who's the number three team, right? Like, who would you pick? That's a really tough question.
I don't know. I would say the Chiefs maybe are number one. I mean, the Patriots lost a lot from last year. Gronk, obviously, is a huge part of their offense, and they've struggled before without him. But, I mean, Brady will be Brady, and Belichick will be Belichick, and they'll win the division, and they'll be in the playoffs. But Kansas City's defense worries you, but certainly in terms of, like, their offense, I mean, no one's touching that. I don't know. I can't say the Rams because of that that just horrible Super Bowl. I mean, that was awful. I mean, you score 3 points in the Super Bowl, they should be banished from ever going to the Super Bowl ever again. I mean, that was just miserable.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, if you said to me before the game, okay, the Patriots are only going to score 13 points, and you told me, like, the stats before the game, I would have said, oh, my God, the Rams are going to win easy. And they just lay a complete egg, 3 points in the Super Bowl. Sean McVay, offensive genius, my ass. Come on, 3 points in the Super Bowl. That's just bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back to the third best team. I mean, I don't know, maybe the Saints. I'm not a huge fan of the Saints. I think Breeze, he kind of showed signs towards the end of last year that he was just – it was just the season was just wearing on him towards the end of the year and did not play well the last few weeks and in the playoffs. I don't know. Maybe the Eagles. I mean, they're looking pretty good this year, especially if Wentz will be healthy. You know, that was the main concern with them last season. But I don't know, just to go off the beaten path, I'll say the Eagles is like maybe the third best team in the league.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay. Now, so with that said, the Rams over-under is 10.5, and I feel very strongly, like, I actually feel very similarly to you, but I just thought that the Panthers were just that much worse, which is why I picked the Rams early on. But long-term, I'm with you. I think the Rams are going to have a big letdown this year. And I can't imagine them getting over 10.5 wins. I mean, I think they could have 10, but I don't think they're going to have more than that. What do you think?
All right, I'm looking at their schedule. Let's see. The first thing is just look at their road games. Like, all right, I just said they're going to lose to Carolina, so we're going to have to count that as a loss. They're at Cleveland, a Sunday night game. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
You could see them losing that one. At Seattle, they seem to have had Seattle's number the last couple of years. At Atlanta, at Pittsburgh, they have a tough road schedule.
Yeah.
At Arizona is probably a win. At Dallas, and then at the 49ers. So if they split their road games, that would be pretty good, honestly. And then if they were to sweep at home, let's see who they have at home. Also, they have the Saints, so that's a huge – and that's a huge revenge game, obviously, for the Saints after the pass interference debacle in the NFC Championship game. So I have the Saints, the Bucs, the 49ers, Bengals, Bears, Ravens, Seahawks, Cardinals. So, yeah, 10.5 is pretty close. It all depends on what they do on the road. You figure at least 6-2 at home. And then if they split on the road, that's 10 right there. But they got some tough road games. So I don't think they're going to be winning 13 again this year, that's for sure. So that 10.5 feels pretty right to me. I would say under just because I think 10 is what we'll end up at.
Yeah, I'm going to go under as well. And I feel pretty good about it. Like, any bubble is going to make that 10 feel pretty comfortable. So, you know, I'm with you on that. One other thing you got to look at is that, remember, the defense is composed of a lot of free agents in that defensive backfield and in the linebacking core. And not only do those guys get older, but I think some of them didn't resign. So it's like they were already a hodgepodge on defense, and now they're just going to lose some of those guys. I mean, I don't trust that defense.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this previously, maybe last year, that it's just when you start bringing in like 1 year like players, and not only it affects the team chemistry, it just the salary cap, it just, you know, how long can you keep kind of kicking the can down the road, so to speak, with the contracts and just trying to be like a year to year team. So you know, I definitely can see that point of it, but I'm more concerned about their offense, honestly, after what I saw in the Super Bowl. I mean, I still can't get over that. You know, it just blows your mind. And
yeah.
We'll see if Goff can reclaim what he had done last season. Gurley's knee, or arthritic knee, we'll see if that, you know, they barely used him in the playoffs. And if he's got issues, then I do think getting Kupp back will help. Their offense was more explosive when he was in there, when they have their three receivers. But I'm pretty concerned about the Rams offense heading into this season. I would say more so than the defense, but you certainly do raise a valid point.
Yeah, no, I certainly. I am concerned about the offense too, but not in week one because I picked I felt enough about them. I felt good enough about them to take them for the win. That's just saying that the Panthers defense is brutal. And I don't know, John, if you look at where the Panthers would end up going, do you see them having a ceiling of getting to the playoffs?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think if things break right, they can be in the playoffs. I mean, I think all those teams in the NFC South could contend. Well, obviously the Saints are probably the favorite, but you know, Atlanta and Carolina are probably the next wild card contenders. I mean, Carolina was, I think they were what, 7-2 last year or something, and they just completely fell apart. But were having a good season, so I definitely could see them in playoff contention.
Well, I can see that because of Cam Newton's abilities. I mean, he really is one of the best. Yeah, I would say so. I think as long as he's healthy, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL today. There's no question about that. So I think that is what makes that very interesting for them. So you're right. I think they will have a chance to be in the playoffs. And you know the NFC South can be very unpredictable from year to year, so you don't really know who steps up. I kind of like Atlanta here this year as well because, there's some pretty good talent on that team anyway. And Ryan, for all I've said about him and for as much as I can't stand him in a big spot, he's still a pretty good quarterback. So I think he'll be all right too. So. All right, I think that wraps it up in terms of predicting the season. Let's just give it to you for final thoughts, John.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun journey as we head over the next, three or four months. I have to say, I'm obviously I'm very excited for the Packers to play tomorrow night, and I will definitely end up. But I'm more into the college football games this year for whatever reason. I don't know, maybe that'll change after a first red zone Sunday, but. And I'll obviously be watching, but I feel like I'm more into college football this year. We'll see. But it should be fun, and, you know, the long wait is over, and football is back, and always appreciate you having us on to give our rants and nonsensical thoughts and our picks, and it's always a fun time. So thanks, Dave, and, you know, and enjoy all the games, and it should be a fun season.
And, John, I reciprocate that to you. Have a great time this weekend. Enjoy all the college action and the pros as well. And good luck to your picks, and have a good weekend, my friend.
All right, Dave, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, see you, John. Take care. And that's it for John in Connecticut tonight, and that's our show. And I feel similarly to John in terms of the college season. I'm kind of getting more into the college games, too. It's funny to think that, but we wish you good night. You can follow us at DidCow on Twitter, on the web at DidCow.com, and on Apple Podcasts, look for Dave in the City Out West. I am Dave Medina. Good luck to all your picks, wherever you may be. We'll see you next time.